Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, and I have a show for you, depending on who you are. So let's talk about who I'm talking to. I'm talking about today, the relationship, you're going to love this, between the black sheep in the family and nutrition. The black sheep in the family. How many of you can relate to a childhood where you felt like you were on the outside of the family? You were the different one. Maybe you were the one that dreamed bigger. Maybe you were the one that constantly listened to, don't think you're so big. Don't think you're better than anybody else. Don't think that your dreams, when you dream that big, should ever turn into reality. That's the black sheep in the family. Terrible word for that person. You know, psychology addresses this type of a child. Some of you have that type of a child. Some of you were that type of a child. And some of you today are adults who are acting like children because you couldn't really understand how to get out of that painful childhood. So you're trapped. You're trapped in two worlds. The world that you perform in, that you earn your income in, that you bring your food and your money home to and put on the kitchen table to dispense into the world you've created. And yet underneath it all, deep down inside, there's this other you, an inner you, a you that wants something better, something closer to who you in your maturation think you really are, but you're not having it. Well, this show is about you. Often your IQ, so I'm going to really get specific today, your IQ, your intelligence quotient, is between 120 and 150. So you're not stupid. You've never thought of yourself as stupid. In fact, you've kind of noticed that just about everything that comes your way, you can master. You're actually good in school. You actually learn kind of quickly. But no matter what happens, sooner or later along the way, you get bored, or you get intolerant, or you feel like the knowledge you take into yourself that you want to exalt or create with or celebrate always finds some sort of a competitor. You're a victim of jealousy. A teacher thinks you're too big for your britches and they have to cut you down. You're the guy that asks the question in a classroom, why? And everybody says, just because. And that drives you nuts. This show is about you. And I'm going to draw a link between all of my shows and holistic medicine and you. And that's big. Because this is where my last 55 shows have been leading. I had a plan. And I unveil this plan today. You see, really, holistic medicine is a metaphor. It's a methodology for the super gifted. Only I'm going to use this term super gifted in different contexts than we often use the word super gifted. You see, in everyday life, we think that super gifted means if you're 4 years old and you've already mastered advanced calculus, or you speak six languages and your IQ is 250, you're super gifted. That's the easy life. And often, the truth, those people don't change the world. They don't create that impact that affects other people's consciousnesses. The super gifted person I'm talking about doesn't have a 200 IQ. They don't have a 170 IQ. They're somewhere in that 125, 150 range. But it's more than that. They know how, from the day they're born, from the day they're coming down the vaginal canal, they're already understanding how to think outside the box. This is my target audience today. And everybody's got a little bit of that in them, but some of you, and I'm talking to you, some of you have been imperiled by your gifts. Your gifts have worked not to their potential. In fact, some of you, your gifts have worked against you. You have turned to drugs. You have turned to different forms of ill virtue. Because you found from the time you're little that the straight and narrow doesn't pay. That you can't proceed in a normal, healthy, unadulterated, unattacked way. That no matter who you are in your situation, you're the person that asks the questions that nobody wants to ask, that thinks outside the box, that comes up with solutions that are not the mainstream of the culture. This is the creative thrust of the culture. When Steve Jobs of Apple came onto the scene, he looked at things differently. And if you know anything about the man's life, he suffered as a result. He was thrown out of his own company as he brought people in the marketing arena to help further the incentive, the motive, the vision of Apple. He found himself within 2 to 3 years thrown out by his own board. Hundreds of examples of this. Hundreds of examples of people who have ideas that surround themselves with what they think is a team only to find them betrayed by their team. These are the black sheeps. Now, in psychology, at the turn of the century, Freud, so we're going to start to draw some correlations here, important correlations for you to get, because I'm going to tie this show together today brilliantly, but I have to bring it from multiple angles. So here's angle two, psychology. At the turn of the century, J. Halloran Haller, the physician and sexuality in Victorian America. Victorian America, probably one of the dumbest, darkest, torturous, idiotic ages in the last 1,000 years. Put Victorian America up there with the Dark Ages. 500 AD, Charlemagne. Idiocy. Here's the book. Can't argue with the book. It's American History. J. Haller, H-A-L-L-E-R, and Haller, H-A-L-L, husband and wife team. J. Haller and Haller, the physician and sexuality in Victorian America. Mentioned this book once before. Routine clitorectomies for women with symptoms of hysteria. Routine clitorectomy for women in America. Coming to doctors and pouring their hearts and souls out in a hysterical manner, only to be told that the cause of their problems lie in their clitoris, whereupon surgery was advised for nothing more than bad headaches. And the concept, the underlying stupidity, something beyond the Neanderthal man would not have done this to his clan. Cutting out a clitoris as the source of the migraine. Because, of course, that migraine was the result of repressed sexual feelings. So rather than liberate that, rather than appropriate the repressed sexual feeling, if in fact that was the case, which it really wasn't anyway, but once identified as a sexual frustration, cut out the clitoris because that's the end of the problem. And that is what they did. That is American history. 120, 130, 140 years ago. So we didn't come from a great track record here in the European American model. We didn't come from a great track record as far as it related to getting in touch with your repressed emotions, your angers, your fears, your guilts, your shames, your sadnesses. Perhaps we just didn't have that indulgence back then. Perhaps. Whatever it was, the relationship between emotion and daily experience really wasn't very well understood, or we wouldn't have been doing that. The turn of the century, a man named Sigmund Freud. You all know his name. Developed a different model. The model said that the choices you made in your life, which often were stupid and lacked wisdom, that those choices related to the tensions that developed when you were a little boy or a little girl. And this Freudian model opened up talk therapy. It swept through Europe. Freud was credentialed. He was brilliant. He was a neurologist. A neurologist. It's very interesting. And Freudian psychology, the growth model, swept through Europe. It came to America, was not well received, but it had so much power. And it spoke so much truth that it spread so that by the 1920s, in the cities in America, in the cities all over Europe, if you were in the know, if you had the inside track, if you were the holistic people of today, you would go to see a shrink. And you lie on the couch and you talk about your problems. And this is nothing new. And all of you have done this on some level somewhere along the line. But you have to understand where it started. It started with someone that took America inadvertently out of its dark ages. And Freud was joined then by a whole host of other psychologists. And that's part of what this show is about today. You see, because what happened with Freudian psychology and what you've experienced out there, you, the black sheep, at one time or another, under the dome of these labels, from ADD to bipolar disorder to schizophrenia to manic depressive disorder to just your good old plain down-to-earth neurosis, an anxiety type. No, there's not a lot of those people around, right? We don't have an entire nation of people living on antidepressants today. That's my imagination. So this is about many of you who have been taught by what started as a growth model in psychology and what has been reduced to simply shut up and take a pill. Get the book, Aldous Huxley, Brave New World. Aldous Huxley, do we still give that to our kids in high school? I hope so. I read it in the sixth grade. It talked about a world someday where you were going to get up in the morning and take a pill and all your problems would go away. Well, we've produced it already. We have certainly produced it already. And too many of us have drank the Kool-Aid, in my infamous expression. And what I'm asking you to consider is that when this growth model in psychology began at the turn of the century, it wasn't about taking a drug. It was about going into an inner journey to understand where your anxieties came from. That was Freud's idea. And his concept was talk it out. And talk it out. And talk it out. And talk it out. Something better came along that's more about this show today. Something better than Freudian psychology came along. And that was in the form of a man named Wilhelm Reich. R-E-I-C-H. Wilhelm Reich. He was another brainchild. He was a protege of Freud. He was a child prodigy. He went to the medical school in Vienna on scholarship. And Reich had an even better idea, something more akin to the drives on this show that you listen to today. By the way, if you're cruising in your car and you just tuned in, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to my website, straighttalk.cc. Stream the show, get into the archives. And this man, Wilhelm Reich, he said, not only are we going to talk to people, but we're going to take our hands and touch them.